Dreaming of Italy by T.A. Williams and read by Anne-Marie Piazza for Saga Egmont. J.M. Global Productions Screenplay. Dreaming of Italy. Scene 56, Final. Exterior. Venice Waterfront, Day. Emily and Robert standing face to face on the quay. Tears running down Emily's face. A launch is waiting in the water alongside them. Emily. Is it really time for you to go? Robert, struggling with his emotions. I wish we didn't have to part like this. Emily.
So do I. But it's out of our hands.
Sobs.
You have to go one way. I have to go another.
Robert stretches out his hand and lays it against her cheek. If only things could be different. If only we could stay together.
Emily. I wish that were true. These past days have been so wonderful. I can't believe it has to end. I'll never stop dreaming of Italy and of you.
Robert. Meeting you is the very best thing that's ever happened to me. Reaches out and embraces her. I love you, Emily, from the bottom of my heart.
Emily. And I love you too. So very, very much. Goodbye, Robert, my love.
Robert steps down into the launch. Robert.
Goodbye, my darling. I'll always love you.
Launch starts to pull away, cut to close-up of Emily's face as she stands on the quay. Camera follows launch until it disappears. Final close-up of Emily, distraught. Dissolved credits. The end.
Chapter 1.
So, what did you think of dreaming of Italy?
He dropped the final pages back onto the well-thumbed pile of A4 sheets lying on the polished surface of his glass and steel desk and looked up at her. Through the window behind him, Emma could clearly see the Hollywood sign on the hill in the distance, but her full attention today was focused on her boss. His fingers drummed on the screenplay as he asked her the all-important question. She answered immediately and without hesitation. I liked it, J.M. I liked it a lot. She gave him an enthusiastic smile, still trying to come to terms with the fact that here she was, sitting opposite the big boss himself. Although she had been rising pretty quickly through the ranks during her 12 years with the company and had met him on a number of occasions, this was the very first time she had been summoned to the top floor inner sanctum of the man universally acknowledged to be the 21st century's answer to Sam Goldwyn or Louis B. Mayer as the current uncrowned king of Hollywood. Of course, she reflected, J.M. did have his ever-present right-hand man, conveniently named Dexter, perched on a stool at his side to fill him in if her name should escape him. With his minute stature, alongside his 6'6" employer, Dexter had always reminded Emma of one of those little fish who swam around sharks, even venturing into their mouths to remove parasites and keep the predator healthy. His encyclopedic knowledge of the company, its many productions and its staff, from stars to sound engineers, from costume designers to camera operators, was unsurpassed. And she knew that her name was only one of hundreds upon hundreds stored inside his computer-like brain. As for the screenplay, she knew she would probably have felt obliged to tell J.M. she liked it anyway, seeing as it had to a great extent been the brainchild of the big man himself. But in this instance, there was no need to dissimulate. She actually had been very impressed with what she had read the previous day. She smiled again and added a bit more. It's the best screenplay I've read for a long, long time. In return, her boss's mouth curled into what was the closest he ever got to a smile. The first time she had witnessed this phenomenon, she hadn't been able to tell whether he was genuinely pleased or just preparing to bare his fangs and sink them into her throat. Fortunately, it had been the former. Jan Miros, the legendary founder, president, and major shareholder of J.M. Global Productions, JMGP, had a reputation for being a tough